in line for a little bit of good news today? We had a week, like a week this week. Lots of things happening. The world is just doing its thing. And here it is, the Sabbath day. And aren't you so glad that you're here? Isn't it a wonderful thing to be a Christian? To know Christ as your Lord and Savior? What a wonderful privilege we have. And I'm just so happy. Oh, I just feel so good because He is so good to me. Amen. God is working things out. Everybody's got things going on in their lives, and they need to be worked out. And I am fully convinced and that these things are for your good. Whatever it is you're struggling with, God has an answer for you. And He is going to reveal it to you in short order. Let us pray at this time. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the presence of the Holy Spirit. We're thankful that Your Spirit is moving in and amongst Your people and ready to reveal what the Word says, and that the understandings might be opened, that the hearts might be filled with the joy of the peace of the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. We ask now for a special anointing, that Your Word would go forth, that it would be blessed, and that it would just do the work it is supposed to do this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, how many of you have your Bibles? All right. If you don't, there's one on the pew in front of you. I want some folks to read some scriptures as I call them out. But first, I'll give them to you. Juanita, could you look up for me Hebrews 11, verse 6, and just hold on to it, and when I call it, read it, please. And Retha, could you look up James 2 and 19? And who shall I get for the next one? How about Robert? Hebrews 11, 6. And Jean, Romans 14 and verse 23. And Lee, would you read one for us? Oh, okay. Well, I might want it read again. So whoever gets it first. Sorry about that. I said Hebrews 11, 6, didn't I? Okay. Well, whoever I gave it to the second time, would you read Romans 12 and 3? Now I got more. Connie? Got a Bible there? We want Matthew 18, verse 3. And Joan? John chapter 3, verse 3. And Jerry, John chapter 3, verse 5. And Jimmy Smith, Acts 2:38. Lots of scriptures. This is what it's all about, folks. The scriptures are the most important thing that we could delve into today. And Ephesians 2 and 5. And Dawn, 1 John 3 and 14. Thought you'd get away with it, didn't you? All right. 1 John 3 and 14, Lillian, James 5 and 20, Oh, Lola. Lola, Lola. Acts 26, verses 14 to 18. Now, if I don't call your scripture, that means I ran out of time and I didn't need it. Arlene, Hosea, chapter 14, verse 4. And would you like to read one? Good. Isaiah 53, verse 5. Thank you for volunteering. I like that. That's great. All right. And I think I'll take care of the rest. Now, Acts 18. Ooh. Where was that? The other page, maybe. Acts 26, verses 14 to 18. Yes. All right. And now we shall begin. You know, in order to be saved, first you must be convinced. Convinced what? Convinced of the truth of the claims of Jesus Christ. Convinced of the gospel. Convinced that the Bible is the Word of God and that what Jesus said is the truth and it needs to be acted upon. You need to be convinced. Nobody, no matter how hard they may try, can convince you of the claims of the Bible and of the authenticity of the claims of Christ, except you yourself must convince yourself. And you need faith. And what is faith declared to be? Hebrews 11 and 1 said, faith is the substance of things hoped for the evidence of things not seen. You need faith. And how necessary is faith? Verse 6. You need to have faith, but you need to believe that God is able to do what you ask of Him. If you don't believe God is able to do what you ask of Him, why bother asking? That is what you call an exercise in futility. But when you go to somebody and you have a request, you must believe that they are capable of fulfilling what you ask of them. And is mere mental assent to the truth enough? You know, I believe it. Somebody read James 2 and 19. Well, you're in league with the devil. If you just believe, then you and the devil are in agreement. What a great ally to have. Oh, no, 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 no. Just believing is not enough. The devil's got the doctrine down perfect. Now, he deceives people and he twists it around and he gets a lot of false doctrine thrown into the mix, but he knows the truth. He believes and he trembles because he knows his future. He knows where he's going. Do you know where you're going tonight? Today, do you know where you're going? Do you know the direction in which you're headed? Oh, yes. But the devils believe, and what is required besides belief? What else do you need? What else? And that would be Hebrews 11 and 6. Did you get that? He that cometh unto God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Now that word diligently has a lot of meaning. You have got to be serious about what you ask. You can't fool around. You've got to be serious, and you must diligently, that means with all of the powers within you, whatever you've got to give it all you've got. Diligently means you just follow every, you cover every angle. And you do it. Because it's impossible to please Him unless you do. What is necessary in order that the gospel that is preached may be profitable to you and I? Now the answer is Hebrews 4 and 2. Who's got it? Faith. There's that faith again. It has to be mixed in, you know, to hear the word and to understand the word, but not to trust in the word. That's what faith is. Trusting in the word of God, that it is true, and you put your trust and you throw your lot in with Jesus and you say yes, and you begin to act upon it. Because if a deed is done without faith, what is it? And the answer is Romans 14 and 23. That's called a pregnant pause. Romans 14 and 23. Who did I give that to? If you don't hurry up, I'm going to read it. All right. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Whew. That is a heavy statement. If you are not mixing what you believe and what you do with faith, then you're missing the mark. You need to walk by faith. You need to live by faith. And whosoever or whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Now, where do we get this faith? How do I get it? How do I get faith? Pardon? That's a good one. But I'm going to say something that's going to startle you. Romans 12 and verse 3. Oh, did you catch it? You already have it. Each of us has been given enough faith to get us to the next step. Each of us has it. Whether we believe it or not, it's in us. God has given and dealt to each of us a measure of faith. And when you use that faith, He begins to multiply it and cause you to generate more. And it grows, and it grows, and it grows. The more faith you use, the more you get. And the more love you use, the more you get. The more of the Christian virtues that you practice, the more practiced you get at Christian virtues. Because it just is that way. It is simple, and yet it is profound. You have enough faith to save you, but you must be convinced of the truth of the claims of Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Is he lying or is he telling the truth? Then believe it and do something about it. He said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Does that mean I got to do something? Or is it automatically, you know, it's just there it is and I don't have to do anything? You do so. You have to do something. And that is, you must use that faith that He has given you. Believe it. and do something about it. Once you have heard the gospel, the only way to be convinced is to make up your mind. To believe it or not. Seeing is not necessarily believing, but believing is seeing. I cannot convince you, but you can convince yourself. And once you have convinced yourself of the truth of the claims of Christ and of the gospel and of the Bible, then you must undergo conversion. And conversion is what the Bible calls being born again or the new birth. You are immediately going to ask, when you are convinced of the truth, what must I do to be saved? And as they said on the day of Pentecost, after Peter preached that sermon, men and brethren, what shall we do? So there's something that needs to be done. And is it works? No, it's not. It's obedience by faith. Obedience by faith are works that are produced because of what Christ has done for us. Jesus has done all that is necessary for you to be saved, but you need to receive the gospel and obey what is conveyed there. You must be converted. Conversion is commonly known as the new birth. Who has Matthew 18 and 3? Read that, please. It's as simple as that. A little child can be converted because all it takes is a trust in the gospel, a trust in the claims of Christ, a trust that if I do repent of my sins, He will forgive them and He will wash them away in His blood and He will come and dwell in our hearts in the person of the Holy Spirit. These things you can convince yourself and you can be converted if you dare to believe. And I challenge you to dare. John 3, verse 3. Very good. And John 3 and verse 5. Something needs to happen to you that is outside of yourself. It takes a step, an act of faith on your part to set the wheels in motion. But when you turn your heart and life over to Christ, He begins the process of having you being born again. You must be born again. You were born the first time, you will die. Unless the Lord comes before you do die, and then you are born again so that you will not be subject to the second death. And you must willingly obey the command of Acts 2:38. Who wants to read that? Who has that? Okay, is it just part of the crowd that needs to do that? What does it say? Every one of you must repent. Well, why? Because He said so. Believe in the Word. It is not enough to be a good person. It is not enough to do good deeds. That doesn't cut it. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But we must repent of our sins. We must not only be sorry for them, but to forsake them. To turn around and go the other direction. Some people are on the right road, but they're going the wrong direction. And they need to turn around. We need to act on our faith. Acts 2:38 is a formula for success. If you wish to succeed with God, obey His instructions. If you want your car to run right, follow the directions. Put the oil in when it's supposed to be put in. Lube oil and filter. and take care of the things that the instruction book, the manual says, and that the Bible says you need to repent, you need to repent. And then allow Him to fill you with His Holy Spirit. Because without the Spirit, you are nothing, you're dead. A body without the Spirit in it is a dead thing. We take it out somewhere and we bury it. When the Spirit leaves the body, it's dead. And without the Spirit of Christ, even though you may be walking around, you're dead in your trespasses and sins. But thanks be unto God that when we believe and are baptized, we are baptized into His death, and we reckon ourselves dead unto trespasses and sins, but alive unto God. And we reckon. What does that word reckon mean? It means we decide in our minds. We process the information that we've been given on the gospel, and we say, yes, I agree, and I am acting upon that. And I am doing something about it. And we allow Him to fill us with the Holy Spirit. You follow the life. You walk in obedience to the Word of God. You follow His teachings, His example. And your life thereafter reflects your confession and your conversion. Amen. And now, after you have been converted, here are the results. Ephesians 2:5. That's right. Amen. So the first thing that happens is that we have been changed. We have been quickened. The King James says quickened. That means we have been brought to life. When something is quick, it means it's alive. And to be quickened is to be made alive. And we are made alive with Christ. The life of Christ makes us alive. And we are saved by grace. What is the evidence? Another evidence is eternal life. 1 John 3 and 14. Somebody read that. There's been a change in you. You begin to love the things that you hated, hate the things you used to love. And you begin to love your brother and your sister, and you begin to care more about their welfare than your own welfare. Or you should. Because the Bible also says that we are to esteem our brother or our sister greater than ourselves. That's not the way the world thinks. That's not, it's eye for eye, tooth for tooth. You punch me, I punch you back. And that's the world. But we are different. And the changes begin to manifest themselves if we have truly been converted and the Holy Spirit has begun to do His work from the inside out. Then there's a change and we begin to love. We begin to manifest that love to one another. James 5 and 20, we have another benefit of being converted. This is a good work we need to do as we convince others, as we show them the way and they are convinced and they do something about it and they are converted, then they're saved from death, the second death, and their sins are gone. This hides a multitude of sins. You have eternal life and freedom from sin. Acts 26, verses 14 to 18. Thank you. so many of us are so busy doing things that we think the Lord wants us to do that we very seldom sometimes hit the mark the way we should. Saul was absolutely committed to his faith, but his faith was misdirected. His faith was in the nation of Israel and in the Jewish religion and in doing the things that a good Jew is supposed to do. And one of the things that he thought they should do was get rid of all the troublemakers, and the troublemakers were the Christians. Oh, yes, and there's a lot of people that think that we're troublemakers, that we point out sin. We say that sin is sin and it's exceedingly sinful, and we name the sins and we tell people this is wrong and this is right, and they don't like to hear it because it's bad news for them. And they might have to do something about it, and they don't want any bad news. But this is good news, because any of us that have accepted the gospel have been revealed to us that we were lost sinners and needed salvation and needed to have our sins washed away and needed to be reconciled to God. What better news is that? That we can do it. That I can be reconciled to Almighty God through the claims of Christ, through coming and humbling myself and asking God for forgiveness and allowing Him to save me and change me and transform me so that I can be of an inspiration, of a help to others. Here's Saul. He's struck down in the middle of doing something he thought was right. And it was terrible what he was doing, but he was blinded by his own zeal. And sometimes we are blinded by our zeal, and we don't see the needs of the people around about us, and we get ambitious, and we get self-promoting. And Saul wanted to be the biggest and the best and the highest in the Sanhedrin. He probably wanted to be high priest if he could have been it, but Benjamin can't be high priest. And he was of the tribe of Benjamin, so he said, I'm going to be as best as I can be, and I'm going to show all them, I'm going to be the Pharisee of the Pharisees. And that's not a bad ambition, to be the best that you can be, but let's put it into the kingdom of God. Let's win as many souls as we possibly can win. Let's bless as many as we can. Let's help as many as we can. Let's heal as many as we can through our example, our life. Let us be ministers one to another, loving the body of Christ as it's never been loved before, ministering to one another as we have never been ministered before, and showing the world that we are Christians by the love we have one for another. What a vibrant, wonderful group we would be. People would flock to see us and say, where are these people coming from? Who are these people? They're different from everybody else. Oh, there's Christians here. There's churches there. But these ones are different. They're like Jesus. You remember him? Why, he's the one that it's all about. And then there is healing. Hosea 14 and verse 4. Evidences of being converted. Hosea 14 and 4. Isn't that a gracious promise? Oh, I will heal their backslidings. See, healing is not just physical healing. Spiritual healing is a goal to be desired, to be pursued. If we could be spiritually healed, then the physical healings would just happen. They really would. If the body of Christ would unite, then those that are sick would be benefited by those that are strong, and they would help them find healing in their physical bodies. And thank God for our health message, that we preach a health message that hardly anybody in the church world understands. Some of them do, you know. Some of it's getting around. But if you follow the principles laid down in the Bible of what you should eat and how you should take care of yourself and cleanliness and fresh air and exercise, then there would be less sickness. Anyway, so healing, healing, healing. I will heal their backslidings. Backsliding is when your heart moves away from God. God never moves. We move away from Him. He's always there, always ready for us to come back. But if they backslide, He says, I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from Him. You can turn back to God. If you feel like a backslider today, turn around, Try again, because He's waiting and ready and willing to touch you, to heal you, to pick you up, and get you going on the right path again. That's the kind of God we have. I wanted to tell you some good news today. This is good news. This is good news. I will heal their backsliding. And by what means are these healings accomplished? Isaiah 53 and 5. Amen. Amen. Peace. We are healed. If the church would be the church and do the works of Christ would be manifest in the church. Everywhere Jesus went, He went doing good, and there were signs and wonders and miracles. We don't need to pray for signs and wonders and miracles. If we're doing the works of Christ and the Holy Spirit is moving in our midst and we are united and the Holy Spirit has free access to each of us and we love one another, healings will happen. By His stripes we are healed. Oh, this is good news. So we are changed when we are converted, and we need to be committed to Christ. 2 Corinthians 3 and 18. Did I give anybody that? If I didn't, all right, then let me get it. 2 Corinthians 3 and 18 says, "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." Committing yourself to Christ is like the little street urchin in that Italian city who saw a statue of a Greek slave girl. And this Greek slave girl in the statue had nice clothing on and was neat and was just a pretty little statue. And she looked so good. And this dirty little street girl, she just didn't know any better. She was just living on the street. She looked at it and her eyes wondered. And she saw how the hair was done and the clothes and everything. And she went to her humble little home and she went to the mirror and she began to straighten out her hair. And then the next day she went back and she saw how she was dressed and the clothes were neat and clean and everything. So she went home and she began to wash her clothes and fix the patches and things. And daily and weekly and monthly she would keep going back to that statue. And lo and behold, as time went by, she began to look pretty, began to look clean, began to look more and more like that statue. And this is how we become better Christians, when we behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world, when we begin to behold Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, when we begin to behold Him, because imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. Following Jesus involves imitation of His example and obedience to His teachings. Jesus said, "If you love me, obey my commandments." So therefore, salvation is wrapped up in Jesus. It starts with Jesus, it continues with Jesus, and it ends with Jesus, and we, beholding Him, become as He is. Why? Because we love Him, and we love Him because He first loved us. So first we are convinced, then we are converted, then we are committed, and happy are we if we walk with Him closely each day and take upon, by beholding Him, His traits, His spirit. We want to be like Him, don't we? We want to be the best that we can be, don't we? There's hope for you because it's possible. It's possible through allowing the Holy Spirit to come and dwell in your life. It's possible when you will decide to turn your life, heart and life over to Jesus. And if you haven't done it, do it today. Do it now. There's no tomorrow. Don't think about tomorrow. Now is the accepted time. There's no tomorrow as far as I'm concerned. It's today, today, today. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Because the things of tomorrow are based upon what you do right now. And if you're walking and functioning and living in the Spirit, tomorrow will be a glorious tomorrow for you, based upon what you are today. Are you committed? Are you convinced? Are you converted? I sure hope so. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your glorious word of which we have partaken. We have read it, we have studied it, we have chewed it up, and we have spit it out, and we've tried it again and here and there. We have just worked on your word today and have decided that it's true and that it's right and that we can benefit by obeying it. And we pray, dear Lord, that each one has grabbed a hold of a promise and been uplifted and edified and built. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Thank you, and now we will...